DOE.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
This is the Quality News Network. Fighting rages in the streets of the Palestinian territories between rival factions Hamas and Fatah. 13 have died today. This morning, Hamas fired mortars into the compound of Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Also in Gaza, Hamas fired 8 rockets into Israel this morning. No injuries were reported. Yesterday, 25 missiles were fired into Israel, injuring 17. Israel today fired rockets into the Gaza Strip, killing at least 4. So far today in Iraq, 41 people have been killed, 125 wounded. At least 32 of those deaths occurred when a bomb exploded this morning in northeast Baghdad marketplace. Also in Baghdad, the search continues for 3 U.S. soldiers kidnapped during an ambush Saturday in which 4 American soldiers and 1 Iraqi were killed. Coalition forces are searching house to house and leaflets are being airdropped asking Baghdad residents for help. On Capitol Hill today, the Senate will debate 4 amendments to the War Appropriations Bill. The subsequent votes will help determine the tenor of negotiations between the House and Senate before submitting another war funding package to the White House. The International Herald Tribune reports North Korea has developed a new long-range ballistic missile capable of cruising 3,100 miles at medium altitudes. That means the missile would be able to hit U.S. Guam. America's former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton says the U.S. should attack Iran before the Islamic nation develops nuclear weapons. Bolton told the London Telegraph, current difficulties in Iraq should not dissuade America from a military attack against Tehran if the country cannot be persuaded to forsake uranium enrichment. In Paris, Nicolas Sarkozy was inaugurated as French president this morning. His first official act was to lay flowers at France's tomb of the unknown soldier beneath the Arc de Triomphe. In Brazil, a rancher has been found guilty of ordering the 2005 murder of a 73-year-old American nun because of her work defending the Amazon rainforest. The rancher was sentenced to 30 years in prison. Yolanda Denise King, the eldest daughter of Martin Luther King Jr., has died in her California home. She was 51. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, 6 elections, 5 space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
A government study released today indicates men who take too many high-dose multivitamins are at greater risk of dying from prostate cancer. However, scientists say there doesn't seem to be a relationship between heavy vitamin usage and the onset of prostate cancer. A humpback whale and her calf have made their way from the ocean via a deep-water shipping canal to Sacramento. A team of marine mammal experts arrive in California's capital today to determine the health of the whales and how to return them to the coastal sea. A lawsuit has been filed by 500 workers, 361 of them illegal immigrants, for overtime pay owed them when their factory was shut down in an INS raid. The Michael Bianco Company, which makes equipment and clothing for the military, is accused of setting up a phony payroll business to avoid paying overtime wages. The launch of PlayStation 3 widened Sony's quarterly loss to $563 million. The Japanese company predicts better performance in the next quarter due to increased sales of flat-panel TVs and other electronic devices. Quarterly profits plunged 29.5% for Home Depot. The Home and Garden Improvement Center cited the slumping housing market and erratic weather nationwide. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $62.83 a barrel. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, wake up, wake up, wake up. It's time for the Cup of Joe Show. Grab your coffee, jumpin' jacks, 1-2, 1-2. Hey, and that jackass in the back doing the one-arm push-up, stop doing that. You're making us look bad. Oh, boy, all right, kiddies. I am really peeved. I am so peeved for many, many, many reasons. Some I'll get into in this show, some I'll get into in my show, but in this show, I want to talk about the APEC Summit coming up in Australia later this year. Oh my God! And just to let you know, I don't get enough time to partake of my first love in life, which is music, and I've been doing a lot of this stuff over the past few hours, which is guitar therapy. and this thing could pop up at any moment, just because I need it for my own sanity. Anyway, this has just been, All right. Okay, APEC's all supposed to be about, you know, business and trade and all that kind of, you know, stuff. Well, announcements were made on security arrangements and the plans for the APEC summit happening in September here in Sydney. Public places won't be open to the public. Train stations are going to be closed for days on end. Okay. Back up, John. Back up. Back up. I've been railing about this all day long. And, you know, and I say all day long because, well, it's just midnight here in Sydney. So I've been so angry about this. And I'm sorry about missing last night, folks. I'll explain a little bit about that. If you didn't see yesterday's show post for Foxed Up with my explanation of why I was not on air last night, I will get there. Okay. if I were the leader of a nation and I were going to be hosting a major economic summit, I might consider holding that summit somewhere near the capital of the nation, especially if the capital is kind of outside of any major city. When it's its own thing. Canberra is like this landlocked, you know, grid of a city out in the middle of New South Wales. It's far away. But anyway. Get this. All because of Bush coming to town. This is all because of Bush coming to town. The Sydney Morning Herald reports, and so were most other news outlets here in Australia, three City Circle train stations will be closed for 3 days during the APEC conference. Prime Minister John Howard, New South Wales Premier Morris Yemma, who met today to discuss transport and security for the meeting of the 21 world leaders, revealed Circular Quay, Museum and St. James stations would be closed during the 21-day talk fest. And we're talking closed all day for 3 days.
These are the three inner city stations that most people use to do anything. Business, pleasure, entertainment, sightseeing, whatever, in the city. On top of that, many large sections of the city of Sydney will be completely blocked from the public. And they did this once before, that really, really angers me. For the entirety of the conference, the entire 12 days, the Australian icon of the Sydney Opera House will be out of bounds for the public. Do you get a concept of why I am angry? And it gets better. It gets so much better. And I know Morris Yemma, our state premier, was not real into this when it was first announced. He and his second in command both said, you know, don't you think you should have held this in Canberra? But no, we have to block off the public from being able to go to the most iconic building in this country. And here's the one that kills me. Not only are the train stations going to be locked off, but everywhere Shrubia goes, there will be a helicopter up above him with cellular phone jamming technology, so no one in Sydney is going to be able to make a mobile phone call. How do you feel about that freedom there, citizens? Oh, my God! I just cannot believe this. It is beyond the pale. Yes, Shrubia. Ah! I just... You know, Howard's... You know, and Howard has now become... You know, Bush's favorite poodle now that, you know, B. Liar is retiring, you know. I'm going. Not gone yet, but I'm going. I'm not yet, but I'm going. Okay. Unprecedented security will be in force in Sydney for a week of APEC meetings, which will climax. Ooh. Are you all getting hot and heavy now? Climax on September 7th, 8th, and 9th. Many other measures have yet to be made public, but other areas of the city center will also become restricted zones, and heavy security will be placed at a number of hotels. The Sydney Opera House, Government House, and the Sydney Exhibition and Convention Center will be the key APEC venues. Now, the Sydney Exhibition and Convention Center, that's a big part of downtown. Right? That is right on top of Darling Harbor, which is tourist central. And you know, this whole thing's supposed to be so damn good for business. I wonder how the local merchants feel about this. You know? I reckon they're not going to be too impressed. It blows me away. It blows me away. And John Watkins, the deputy premier of the state of New South Wales, last month said Sydney stood to gain nothing from hosting the summit. And he says, this is an event that will bring disruption to the daily lives of hundreds of thousands of Sydneysiders with very little benefit to them. APEC will provide nothing tangible to the good people of Sydney and the business community of Sydney. And he's absolutely right. And I felt really sorry for Morris Yemma having to stand next to Johnny. I am a mono-browed little shyster Howard. And having to smile for the cameras, going, isn't it great? So we're up on top of our first break here, folks. So we're going to take this break, and I'm going to try and calm down. Maybe I'll do some guitar therapy during the break. And so stick around. You're on the Cup of Joe radio show here with John Fox filling in for Joe Vecchio, who should be returning very, very soon. I believe he's gotten all moved in, and he's, you know, dealing with the nitty-gritties of getting back on air. So stick around, folks. We'll be right back here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is a known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robertson. After time, after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called CaloVita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breeds that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea and, of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid. Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or a printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Cup of Joe radio show. John Fox filling in for you here. And I mentioned, you know, guitar therapy, and folks in the chat room are some really good little lines in there. You know, asking me how much does it charge. And the beauty of it is it's nothing. It's free. And it's instant gratification, too. It's the beauty of it, you know. And I'm telling you, if it weren't for music, I would have been certified many years ago. Certified what? I'm not sure. But you know, it all depends on what kind of mood you're in, and you can do whatever you can change gears whenever you want. You can play as you know. You can do whatever you want. And the beauty of it is, you know, the guitar doesn't mind whether you caress it or you smack the living daylights out of it. It reacts to what you do. You know, and you, if you need, you know, you can calm yourself down. You know, one of my favorite things is just to pick it up and flip it into drop D, which is what I consider standard tuning, and you know, you do things like, you know, comfortable, easy things to play like Little Feet, you know. Or if you really need to get out of your system, you go for the Days of the New. And you just beat the crap out of it, and it's just really good fun. But enough of that. I want to get back to doing some news. it's just so unbelievably self-indulgent. Anyway. I really felt like I was going mad reading some of this stuff. You know, and you know, I play a lot of, I know, you know, when I do my track of the day stuff on my show, you know, I do play a fair amount of, you know, that, you know, big guitar, you know, white man's thunderstick kind of music, but I don't actually play electric guitar myself. I am so preferable to acoustics, and must be from all those years of being a drummer, which is where I started, and I love wood. Wood is good. See, it makes me feel better just doing that. It's amazing. And I know Bob Kincaid's been getting back into playing guitar again as a bit of therapy, and you know, when you're dealing with the heavy politics and stuff all the time, it really can drive you crazy. And Ray, classical, that I wish I could go there. The closest I get to classical is doing some fingerstyle stuff, and I went on a tangent for a few months of learning some of the old Delta blues rags, and I love those. They're great stuff. Great stuff. Yeah. Bob's been doing, unbeknownst to you all, Bob's been really going fairly music crazy over at his place recently, and as he refers to the 8-stringed misery box, which is what he refers to a mandolin as, and you know, because it's a teeny little instrument, and we're playing tag teaming producers as well today. Hi, Agnes. more on morons. Did I say something about Bush? Oh yeah, moron. On top of the fact that, there goes my microphone. The Age also reports about the train stations being closed for APEC. The other thing, as though this is supposed to be a way around the idea that half the city is going to be blocked off from real people, the Friday of the climax of the event, they've declared a public holiday. Now that's a get out of jail card if I ever heard one. Don't worry about trying to do business. We're just going to shut it all down. We're just going to shut it all down. I really, you know, I have friends that I do some work for who have an office in Martin Place, which is right just a couple blocks from Town Hall Station, which is going to be one of the affected stations. And I wonder how, you know, I mean, they do corporate-y stuff, but I wonder, you know, how they feel about this. You know, the fact that because 21 elitist leaders are going to drop in for a powwow on how they're going to screw the rest of us, are going to just tell them, we just decided you're not going to do business today. Bastards. And this whole thing about the telephone jamming helicopter, because they're afraid of a cellular phone-triggered bomb taking out Bush. What a scared little shyster. He's pathetic. They're all pathetic. And I'm so tired of this kissing up and, you know, hello? Bush is the problem. Haven't you all figured that out yet? Bush is the damn problem. I mean, it was bad enough when Darth Dick was here and absolutely screwed the entire town up where they had to shut down traffic on the Harbor Bridge so his motorcade could cross without anyone else around. It's just absolutely unbelievable. And this article here in The Age says, mobile phone communications would not be interrupted, they said, despite reports that calls would be blocked while Mr. Bush's motorcade drove through the city. Some disruption is unavoidable. The only way to avoid disruption is to say that Sydney is closed for business as far as major international gatherings are concerned, Mr. Howard told reporters. This is not, you know, this is not, this event is not bringing any kind of business to the city. It's not like this event draws tourists. It's not like this event draws entertainment events which draw citizens. No! They're all being told, look, the elite are coming to town, piss off, stay home, you can't come into your own damn capital city. Oh yeah. And, you know, they're going to cordon off all these areas because we cannot have the leaders of AIPAC actually seeing the protesters now, can we? And I mean, we had a nasty time with the G8 last year down in Melbourne. And I want to see what happens this time, because when Cheney was here, because the protest didn't get violent enough for the media, one of Channel 7's cameramen, I believe it was, actually got in the middle of a minor little scuffle that he may have actually started by shoving somebody with his camera, started jiggling his camera around to make it look like there was a really big kerfuffle going on. Give me a break. I mean, that's stretching. Try, you know, and they try and make this thing that there's good protesters and there's bad protesters. Absolutely pathetic. If you go to the Cup of Joe Show blog at headonradionetwork.com, you'll see links to a bunch of stuff. And there's an open letter from someone called Mutiny to the people thinking about organizing protests at AIPAC, and I'll get into that when we come back from this next break. And I never am condoning violence. Understand that clearly. But I really hope that the people that really organize dissent, and there are some good ones in this country, I hope they find a way to cause some disruption. Because these folks are so scared of the people that they have to actually cordon off parts of the city to keep them away. I want them to learn that they can't hide. I think it's just absolute... I just... It's criminal. It's absolutely criminal. And this is all for, in the name of fair trade. And you and I all know what fair trade means. It ain't fair. And it sure as hell, you know, doesn't benefit the regular Joe. All right, folks, it's time for that bottom of the hour break. I might need some more guitar therapy. But anyway, Stick around, folks. You're listening to John Fox on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get on the program, you know the phone number is 1-877-443-2366. And has one of these things would never have been held in the United States, I don't think, because this is like Asia-Pacific kind of thing. So, anyway, stick around. We'll be back after this.
President Bush isn't listening to us.
It's time to end the war.
Congress passed a plan to end it
and bring our troops home.
But the president vetoed it.
We want Congress to know
we are with you.
Don't back down to President Bush.
Send him the same bill again and again.
We, the people, will stand with you because stopping a president who believes he can do no wrong
takes people with courage to do what's right.
I'm John Edwards, and I approve this message.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The Change to WIN Labor Federation says the Peru and Panama trade deal with some labor protections that House Democratic leaders reached with the Bush administration amounts to a minor tune-up when a major overhaul for workers is needed. Change to WIN's Yvette Pena Lopez says that Democrats didn't cooperate closely with labor on this deal with Bush.
We were completely blindsided when the press conference happened, and the Democrats, sort of Democratic leadership, stood together and announced this, you know, quote-unquote great deal, you know, for the American worker. If it really was a great deal, then we should have been able to stand right next to them and hold hands and say, yes, this is a great deal, finally. The day has come, and unfortunately that's not where we're finding ourselves.
Pena Lopez says Change to Win unions oppose it, and the trade deal probably won't get a majority of Democratic votes in the House either. Trade policies have cost U.S. workers millions of jobs, and Change to Win says this deal reached by Democratic leaders in Bush is just not nearly enough to fix U.S. trade policy.
Congress should pause, step back for a moment before pushing forward these trade agreements, and really do something about our skyrocketing trade deficit.
The National Labor Relations Board has banned SEIU Local 49 in Portland, Oregon, from using card checks to organize building service workers for 6 months. Tom Harriman reports from Seattle.
The unusual order came as part of a settlement Local 49 agreed to in response to unfair labor practice charges stemming from an organizing campaign among 32 janitors working for Summers Building Maintenance. Ryan Canny, a Summers worker who was not in the Siltronic bargaining unit, had filed a complaint with the NLRB that the union, among other things, had used outdated cards in seeking recognition for the Siltronic janitors. Canny was backed by the National Right to Work Legal Defense and Education Foundation, an anti-union nonprofit group based in Virginia. Shauna Bello, campaign communications director for Local 49, said the NLRB election process is often abused by employers who use firings and threats of plant closings to persuade workers to vote against unions. In card check recognition, workers can join a union by signing a card rather than going through an election process which can take several months to complete. Bello said that SEIU had been targeted by the National Right to Work Foundation because of its success in using card check recognition.
We have drawn the attention of the National Right to Work Foundation, which is a blatantly anti-union organization whose mission is to stop organizing efforts by any means possible. They often find ways to fight card check through technicalities like this one.
Bello said the problem in the Siltronic campaign stemmed from a 3-month delay between the workers signing cards and the employer recognizing the union. But she said the punishment was out of proportion to the violation and that employers are rarely or never punished when they violate labor laws.
Doug Cunningham, Workers Independent News.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Cup of Joe show. And, you know, I was saying, you know, guitar therapy, right? You know, I'm telling you, it's seriously is better than drugs. You know, they say sex, drugs, and rock and roll, but, you know, for really, the drugs are just a replacement for when you don't have the rock and roll. Something like that. But I'm telling you, you know, I recommend it to anyone, you know, and you don't have to be a great player, you know. Just music is the most amazing outlet. And music is not supposed to really be about going out and becoming famous. It's supposed to be about your own soul. And, you know, it's something you do for yourself. You know, and it's just one of those things. And, you know, you can just, like I said, you can either, you know, do something really mellow or you can get right on it. And that. Oh, Alice in Chains. You gotta love it. Anyway. Oh, just put it down, John. I'm telling you, I'm in a really, really just irate kind of fired up mood. But I'm trying to stay on topic. Okay. So I decided to go and check around some of the alternate sites here in Australia for stuff about APEC. And I go to a great spot, which is Sydney Indie Media, which you can find at sydney.indiemedia.org.au. And there's this open letter to people thinking about organizing protests at APEC. And I'm just going to read some of it here, and you can take from it what you like. Some people have said that they don't want APEC to be another G20. Neither do we. We don't want to see protest organizers publicly denouncing other protesters. We don't want to see groups responding to a climate of police aggression by distancing themselves from those being targeted. We don't want to see groups so busy scrambling for crumbs of media legitimacy that they willingly play into media hysteria about violence and false and dangerous dichotomies between good and bad protesters. We believe that in this climate, it would be all too easy for any of us to find ourselves classed as bad protesters. So we're concerned to hear that the Sydney Stop Bush Coalition has decided to produce posters saying, "Join the peaceful protest." The text itself is minor, but it suggests worrying tendencies, which are not confined to a particular group. To insist on peaceful protest seems to be either naive or dangerously cynical, and it aligns with the repression of dissent. It's naive if anyone who was at the recent demonstrations against Cheney didn't learn from them. No protester went there planning violence, but the assembly decided to defy police and tried to push through police lines. This choice meant that it was not a peaceful protest by many definitions, and certainly not by that of the corporate media. Yet the course of action taken was how the group felt it had to be done. Try to march. People chose to confront the police, and it was a confrontation in which many of us suffered violence and arrest. The next day was equally instructive. An entirely passive crowd was terrorized by police snatch squads making utterly unfounded arrests. If people believe that negotiating with police will ensure a peaceful protest, then they don't seem to be living in the same city as us. Obviously, it is important to encourage large-scale defiance in which people can feel safe and brave wherever their whatever their level of involvement. The cops are clearly trying to make anyone who might think about protesting feel scared, and we have to fight that. But insisting on the image of peaceful protest only amplifies the wedge politics of the police and media, and it doesn't stop police violence. It seems downright irresponsible to promise or demand peace. Obedience will not make us safer. Boy, do I agree with this. In this context, it seems likely that whatever the desire of the organizers, people will choose to attend the protest prepared for self-defiance or other disobedient actions. Is the call for peaceful protest an attempt by a small group producing the poster to say that such tactics and politics are not welcome at the protests? Of course, anyone taking any action must take responsibility for it and the effects that it might have on others. However, those who call a protest are not the boss or police of everyone who attends and cannot assume to control it. Is this group a coalition through which diverse events can be organized, or is it a collective planning a single march? We assume it's the former. If not, there is clearly a need for a broader group as well. If any groups were planning confrontational actions, it would, of course, be essential that they worked with respect alongside others so that those who did not want to be involved wouldn't be drawn in against their will, and so that other actions will not be interfered with. While communication was imperfect, this seemed to be fairly well done at the G20. Many people went on a march and went home, while those who overturned barricades, etc., were streets away. It's important to continue to improve communication, not shut it down. Our fear is that an assertion made now that the protests will be explicitly peaceful will shut down the discussions that needed to be had. The people will argue only that the protests should be peaceful instead of accepting that people will organize in diverse ways, that a small group will attempt to define what is legitimate for the entire protest rather than working to ensure mutual autonomy, safety, and effectiveness. This letter was not written because we're planning so-called violent protests or know of some secret plans. We have no idea. Preparing for APEC protests has not been a priority group. The police preparations seem to strengthen the arguments against summit protests, especially doubts about the value of challenging the state on their terrain and when they are most prepared. On the other hand, they also strengthen feelings that it is important to defy police attempts to frighten us. This ambivalence is why we haven't been at meetings making these arguments. We hope this will as reason to dismiss our thoughts. We write in the hope that we or groups with politics similar to ours would be able to organize for APEC alongside others in a hope that a diversity of tactics will be possible and the spaces for discussion and action will not be shut down. In solidarity, the Munity Collective. And it says, Mutiny is an anarchist collective from Sydney, smeared by the corporate media as much and much of the left for action of the G20 summit last November. I didn't smear him. Because I'll tell you what, the fact that the police did get minorly overrun in sections as they closed off the shopping districts of Melbourne for blocks around where the G20 was being held, and having people who were actually, there were people that were just trying to do their normal, you know, like clothes shopping, go to the fashion district, were told, you can't be here today. So I think, you know, I never call for violence, and yes, there was some stuff that did get slightly out of hand, but it was minor. And the corporate media made claims that were complete lies. They said that the protesters were throwing urine at the cops, and that was proven to be absolutely false. But the claims got huge front page headlines, and the retractions were in the back pages in, you know, microfilm size print. So the impression that's left with the general public was that all of the people down there protesting the G20 were all these violent lunatics. And I agree very much with what the folks from the Mutiny Collective have said in this letter. I think it's great. I really think it's great, and good on them. And good on Sydney Indie Media for putting this thing up so that they can get this out and just say, hey, you know, we need to coordinate. And we also need to make sure that, you know, actions are taken to get the point across without seeming like a completely out of control bunch of yabos. But there are times when kumbaya doesn't work. And that's my belief. All right, folks, we're going to take our final break here for the Cup of Joe radio show here for a Wednesday morning. I hope you're enjoying the program. Stick around, because you're listening to America's Liberal Voice, the Head-On Radio Network. I'm John Fox, coming to you from Sydney, Australia. A little bit more on this APEC thing, and we'll wrap it up for the day. So stick around. We'll be right back.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head-On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head-On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
The following is a Head-On Radio Network special announcement. Ha ha, I'm back! That's right, the rampaging, ranting, tree-hugging, planet-saving, head-banging hippie is back at a brand new time. Foxed Up returns weekdays 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and late night 1 a.m. in Sydney. So set your streamer to a new Foxed Up time here on the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important, since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
This is the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Cup of Joe radio show. John Fox still filling in for Mr. Vecchio. I do believe he's going to be making his return in the short while. Anyway, I've just been, you know, I've been going off on a bit of a rant fest today because I'm just really sick of this concept that, you know, if world leaders really thought they were so damn popular, would they have to cut off the citizens of the cities that they visit? And telephone jamming helicopters over Bush's motorcade. That just says it all to me. Absolutely just... Leaves me speechless. But, you know, they're really out there, both Bush and Morris Yemma are out there really trying to make the point of, you know, don't even bother trying to come down and protest, all you lefties. Even, you know, and I know Morris really isn't happy about the fact that this thing's being held here. But, you know, he's the premier of the host city. So, I mean, he's got to deal with it. He doesn't have any choice. And, you know, and he's a labor guy. And I know for him to have to stand there at that podium with John Howard and smile and just go, He looked really uncomfortable, you know. He kind of looked like a bug had flown down his throat as he was walking up to the podium. He just had a really uncomfortable look on his face while he had the politician's smile on. It was just, you know. And the thing on top of it as well is Howard's really hurting over here as far as his poll numbers, his popularity. You know, his kissing up to Bush is not helping him at all. Even though the economy here is continuing to roll along like gangbusters, that seems to be not paying off for him in the polls because, well, the economy and the numbers might be doing well, but the average worker is not doing as well as they were before his IR reforms, you know, his work choices reforms. And tonight, actually, on Late Line, work relations minister Joe Hockey was being interviewed about the situation with IR, and I'm telling you, this guy is the biggest amateur I've ever seen running such an important portfolio, because he was just being Tony Jones, who hosts Late Line, just it was the verbal version of just constantly feeding him more rope to hang himself with. He's just and he becomes this broken record of, you know, he's asked a specific question about like numbers regarding IR and jobs and things like that, and he just goes, yeah, but labor doesn't understand how the economy works. But labor doesn't. I mean, he's a broken record. He's pathetic. Gail and I were just, you know, standing there just hollering at the TV going, you are absolutely pathetic. And he even has a look on his face where you can tell he doesn't even believe the crap that he's saying. And that's an amateur. That's an amateur politician. And this is the guy that used to get on television once a week on a morning breakfast, you know, a morning show with the opposition leader. And they used to have this great bit. And the Howard people had to make sure that came to an end, because he was getting his head handed to him by Rudd virtually every time, because the guy is nothing but a talking point playback machine, and it's utterly a joke. And you can't even get this government to release their own numbers on satisfaction with the new IR laws from their own reports. They keep them hidden. And in the midst of the entire conversation, he kept saying, but we continue to listen to the Australian people. And Tony Jones is saying, well, if you're listening to the Australian people, they're going to tell you this stuff sucks. They hate it. Well, and it's just as fair as the old cities, but they don't have the protections anymore. People have been forced to, under duress, sign away entitlements that they've had for years. And he says, but we're listening to the Australian people, but Labor doesn't understand. Give me a break. Give me a break. You know, it's just amateur. It's just absolutely amateur. And he's kind of a big guy, and I'm not trying to be derogatory about the guy. However, every interview you see him in, where it's not something that's concocted to allow him just to go and say his thing, he starts to sweat. And I'm telling you, Gail had a great comment. She's sitting there going, well, I reckon there's 2,000 liberal voters that just switched over to Labor in the last 6 minutes. I think she's right. But by the time September comes around, things could be getting very hot for Howard and his boys. If they're already 18 points behind the polls against Labor, now, after they've just released a huge vote attempt buying budget, just imagine what it could be like in September when this event happens. It proved to be very, very, very interesting. So anyway, folks, thanks for being here. You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Radio Show, and as you know, unreportednews.net is a sponsor of the Cup of Joe Radio Show, so head over to unreportednews.net for just a really good source of information. Thanks to Bob and Agnes for both producing the show today. Thanks to the Carpenters for everything that they do for us. Thanks to our mods. Thanks to our bloggers for everything that they do. And stick around, because after the news, you got me, John Fox, with my show, Foxed Up. So, hey, get back to work!
I want a cup of Joe. I crave a plate of Dave. Open a jar of Joe. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of Steve. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scotch. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do every trick. Serve a carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray. I'll lick a spoon of Shaw. Do I need to go? I want a cup of Joe. Yeah. Da 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 da. Joe, I'll crave a plate of Dave. Open a jar of John. Don't
of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with a creamer of Steve. How many more does that leave? He'd be a pot of Scott, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do every year. Open a can of Dan and make a meal of Sam. But don't give me no mug, cause what I really want's a cup of Joe.
This is the Quality News Network. In Paris, Nicolas Sarkozy was inaugurated as French president this morning. His first official act was to lay flowers at France's Tomb of the Unknown Soldier beneath the Arc de Triomphe. The far-right Sarkozy is expected to announce his cabinet choices by Friday. Fighting rages in the streets of the Palestinian territories between rival factions Hamas and Fatah. 28 have died in the last 3 days, 14 of them today. In Gaza, Hamas fired 8 rockets into Israel this morning, 25 missiles yesterday. 17 people were injured. Israel today fired rockets into the Gaza Strip, killing at least 4. A report released by the Federal Government Accountability Office says the recent U.S. troop surge in Iraq has not made much of a difference in terms of the number of sectarian attacks. The Pentagon says in the past dozen weeks of tightened U.S. security, Sunni insurgents are employing more car bombs, which inflict greater casualties than previous attack strategies. In Iraq today, at least 41 people have been killed, 125 wounded. 32 of those deaths occurred when a bomb exploded this morning in a northeast Baghdad marketplace. The International Herald Tribune reports North Korea has developed a new long-range ballistic missile capable of cruising 3,100 miles at medium altitudes. That means the missile would be able to hit U.S. Guam. America's former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton says the U.S. should attack Iran before the Islamic nation develops nuclear weapons. Bolton told the London Telegraph, current difficulties in Iraq should not dissuade America from a military attack against Iran if the country cannot be persuaded to forsake uranium enrichment. In southern New Jersey, a wildfire that started yesterday afternoon has already consumed 12,000 acres of brush and damaged at least 6 houses. The fire was sparked by a National Guard helicopter which dropped